Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. A Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report underway. Lots to get to today, including right now in the first segment. But first, a quick look at the guest lineup for this Wednesday show brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, joining us here in just moments, new Jeffersonville coach approved last night at the Greater Clark County School Board meeting, Chris Moore. He joins us in segment one. Later in the program, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins us as we talk IU basketball. We are inching ahead to the 2019-2020 college basketball season, and Dustin will join us to talk about the Hoosiers for this upcoming year. And then later in the program, as always on Wednesdays, Craig Pearson, the News and Tribune sports editor, joins me in studio. We talk a lot of local sports headlines and what's going on in the area, getting ready for high school football. Week 5 coming up on Friday night with Craig. And of course, we'll be talking about Coach Moore, the new Jeffersonville coach as well, approved last night in that segment. So stay with us throughout the hour. Lots of coverage, lots of interviews coming your way. Don't forget to stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's go right to the phone and right to the new Jeffersonville boys basketball coach, Chris Moore, who joins us from Jeffersonville High School now here in this first segment presented by Zaxby's. Coach Moore, first off, congratulations to you.
Well, Matt, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm very excited.
Absolutely. Coach Moore of Jeffersonville, last night approved by the Greater Clark County School Board as the Jeffersonville boys basketball coach for this upcoming season. Coach Moore, I've got a feeling that some people in Southern Indiana, maybe a handful in Jeffersonville, but folks that follow the game, that love the game of high school basketball, they don't know Chris Moore in the way that I do, a guy that's been around this area, Louisville specifically, over his high school years, and been involved in basketball at all levels, including the Division I level. When I think back years and years ago, first getting in all this stuff, you were just a familiar face to basketball here in this area. You went on to accomplish some great things, have had some great stops in your coaching career, and they say timing is everything, and so this next step for you I know is a very interesting step that could have a lot of awards coming up because you've got quite a team at Jeff. Before we talk about anything with the new job, I want to talk some about you because, again, I'm not sure the average person knows the basketball pedigree that you have. Take us through some of your key stops over your long coaching career that have taken you to a lot of different levels of basketball, including a one-year stop at Jeffersonville previous to this and some Division I stops as well, Coach Moore.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I appreciate you, Matt. You make me sound like I'm a lot longer in the tooth than I probably am, but I'll try my best here. Well, obviously, I grew up in the Louisville area, and I first began my coaching career at the high school level in Louisville. It stops at schools like Fern Creek and DuPont Manual over in the Louisville area, mostly on the boys' side at that time. That my first college stop, first college opportunity, rather, was at the University of Cincinnati with the women there when they were part of the Conference USA 2002. And then shortly after that, I came back here to the Southern Indiana area. I was with Walt Corbin and his staff at Indiana Southeast for 1 year before going over to Bellarmine in the Great Lakes Valley Conference for a couple of years. After that, short time after 2006, over and over the better part of the last 14 years, I've been Division I level, stops at Morehead State, Southeast Missouri State, as well as Wright State up in Dayton, Ohio.
Chris Moore, our guest. Chris is the new Jeffersonville boys basketball coach, approved yesterday. You bring lots of experience, even at the Division I level, to this Jeffersonville High School program, and you inherit a team at an odd time. It's September. Limited contact practices are underway. But if anybody's going to step into this job that not only can lead a team on the court with the X's and O's, but with some of the players going through Jeffersonville right now, including some seniors, but also underclassmen as well that are already going through, so some like Trey Coleman, pretty deep into the recruiting process, and you've got Will Lovings-Watts, who I think will go on to be a great prospect and attract a lot of Division I interest, and that's already starting. You also bring that side to the table as well, which I think is very important. With a group of talent coming through Jeffersonville right now. You can not only lead them on the floor, but help with the recruiting side of things as well. How exciting has this process been to be named to take charge of day-to-day operations and now know you've got the opportunity to lead the Red Devils moving forward this season?
Well, I believe that any coach, assistant coach or whatnot, at some point, you know, strives to run his or her own program, to be head coach at some point when they feel the time is right and opportunity is there. And of course, it's always even more exciting and brings more to it when you have good players that you have the opportunity to coach. And you hit the nail on the head. We do have some very talented and high character young men, student athletes over at Jeff. I mean, you mentioned Trey Coleman and Will Lovings-Watts. Of course, who I both think are fabulous players, and you know, Jacob Jones is another one also. He's a Division I player, and we've got a good core of young guys, which are just going to get better as well. So having talent to go along with the opportunity is always gets you even more jazzed up about the possibilities.
Chris Moore, the new Jeffersonville coach, joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. I know you've had some chances so far to be with the team and in practices a couple days a week. What is or what will be your message when you meet with them for the first time as the head coach of this program, taking over here at an odd time?
Well, the first thing as we get together is, making sure the guys understand that, stay focused on what their goals are. They are a group which knows, came into the school year with high expectations, and rightly so. And then obviously with the change occurring, we want to provide as much stability as possible for them and keep them focused and limit the distractions, going forward as much as possible. And they've gotten to know, be able to get to know me over the last, month or so, so there has been some familiarity there, and we're continuing to, as much with the limited practice time, they're getting to know how I am and my expectations on the court. But I think we have had the daily throughout the school day opportunity to learn my expectations of them overall in the classroom and just as carrying themselves as professionals. That's one thing with me, and they all know is, hey, I want them to be professional in everything they do, in the classroom, on the court, and most young people and most young athletes in particular, they want the opportunity to go and excel at the next level. And I want to provide them with as much knowledge and based on my experiences as possible to help them achieve that. And it's been my experience with that they need to approach that. It's not just going to happen based on their athletic ability, but they also need to just be professional and accountable in everything they do and bring hard work every day.
Absolutely. Chris Moore, the new Jeffersonville boys basketball coach, my guest. I understand, and of course a lot of IU fans listen to this program each day. I understand Indiana had an assistant coach on the Jeff campus recently, specifically to watch Will Lovings-Watts, and I know you've got lots of talented players to talk about, but you've been around this area. As I mentioned, you've recruited this area as a Division I assistant coach. When you look at a young Will Lovings-Watts, a guy in your program that's a sophomore that returns to the Red Devils with varsity experience, he had a great tournament run with Jeffersonville last year, it just appears that the sky could be the limit for him as he grows and as he develops in his game and his basketball skills. Can you talk a little bit about him, maybe taking off your Jeff hat for a moment, putting on your former assistant D1 coach hat, and talk about the prospect and the level of a prospect maybe that he could become over his years at Jeffersonville?
Right now, first of all, I'll say Will Loving Watts is a high character individual. First of all, he's a tremendous personality. He's a high character guy, and that's a tribute to his family. I mean, they don't come any better in that regard. Now, from a basketball standpoint, yes, his talent ceiling is so high. He's young, which you have to with young players, you want to think about how much more they're going to develop, and he still has to continue to develop. But also, his body is physically, he's as physical as most high school players you're going to, I would see on any given night now. At 6'5", and he's skilled, so he's also a guy that I think can play multiple positions on the floor, probably two or three positions. And the level right now, I believe he's a definite mid-major prospect with the potential to be even higher, depending on how much he continues to work and work to achieve that goal. He is, you're correct. Indiana did come in last week just to take a look at him, and I think he's a player that could play at that level moving down the road as well. I think he's had some interest from some other high major schools as well. But he's pretty good. He's pretty good. He's a skilled player. He can extend the floor because he has range to three. He's also like I mentioned before. He's physical enough where he can take a player down low and have a mismatch down there and post up. But the biggest asset that recruiting or evaluating him is the fact that he's coachable and he takes the coaching and he applies it to his game.
Chris Moore, new Jeffersonville coach for the 19-20 season, joining us today. He was approved last night by the school board officially as the head coach. Coach, with the upcoming weeks ahead before the official practices begin, it's fairly new in Indiana. I think Kentucky has allowed a little more flexibility with this over the last number of years, but you can work with your team a couple days a week and actually get out there and start putting in offenses and defenses or doing individual skill work or, whatever it is. It no longer has to just be open gym, open facility, open play. These early practices that are now allowed for the second year, these are going to be a big benefit to you in your situation at Jeffersonville specifically as you inherit this program much later. You didn't get the opportunity to work with them last year. You weren't around in the summer to lead things in the month of June when they were playing scrimmage games and you could practice and things like that. So I'm sure that you're ecstatic that you can actually have practice a couple days a week now with the new rule, or I should say recently new rule, and really get your hands on this team and maybe begin to mold things a lot further along now when other years outside of the last couple, you'd have to wait till November, first couple weeks of November before you could start making some of these adjustments or putting in certain things or getting out there in a X's and O's instructive type position.
That's true. That's true. And I think you mentioned that it is different from what I've generally been accustomed to in the past because, in other states, it is something where you're targeting October 15th and you're ready to go. So it's a little different in Indiana, but, you adjust and adapt to it. For us, we spent probably majority of our time together on the skills and development of our players' skills defensively and offensively. Our guys know in the short time they've been with me that I'm a defensive-minded coach, and that's I've been fortunate to have worked with several coaches who were strong defensive-minded coaches and won a lot of games because of that with those coaches. You never really have to convince guys, hey, to get in the gym working their offensive game. And most of the time, that's what they wanted anyway. And you never have to tell a lot of guys to shoot. So, we're going to have a group of guys that so many of them, not just the three we spoke about, can score the ball and can score the ball different ways. That's I think is what fans and people are going to find it, really be pleased with, is that we have a large number of guys that can score the ball. But they're learning from me also, hey, that being efficient on the other end of the floor is going to be about what helps them get over that edge and win championships.
Chris Moore, new Jeffersonville coach, with us. Coach, before we let you go and get settled into your new position, I'm curious, and when we talked last night, you reminded me, you said, hey, I'm not from Southern Indiana, but you are from this area, and you did recruit this area as a Division I assistant coach, so you know a lot of the players in this area, from the coaches to the players and what programs are what. I'm curious, your thoughts over the years as a young man growing up in Louisville that kept a watchful eye on basketball in Southern Indiana, your thoughts as you became a college coach and had to recruit this area at different levels, Division II and NAIA and, of course, Division I, your overall thoughts on Jeffersonville and Southern Indiana basketball, not just what's on the court, but the environment, the rivalries, and kind of how you see this coming into this job?
Well, as growing up as a high school back in the day, Jeffersonville was always – I was aware it was always one of the best, you know, as far as that's where, you know, in Louisville you had the Ballards and the PRPs, but Southern Indiana, you know, was Jeffersonville with tradition, you know, the athletes, players wanted to come to Jeffersonville, you know, to play. And the rivalries itself, there was New Albany and Jeff and you know, Floyd Central, you know. So Southern Indiana, to answer the second part of your question, Southern Indiana, or even Indiana as a whole, has some, in my opinion, has some of the best high school coaches in the country. And that's what you attribute to the level of talent of Indiana high school players in basketball. I mean, there's good basketball throughout the state of Indiana. I don't care if you're Southern Indiana Corner or all the way up to the Northern Indiana, Gary, or Valpo area, down to Terre Haute through Indianapolis. You know, there's just so much good basketball in the state, and the tradition speaks for itself, and the fan base is rabid, all that. Fans support basketball in this state, and I say this all the time, and I always have, even when I was recruiting, is that that's a tribute to the high school coaches in this state. I mean, there's so many good coaches. Everybody's usually aware about AAU basketball, and that's everywhere in the country you think of, but the high school coaches Indiana, in my opinion, has always been able to keep it stuck right there and keep those kids. You know, if you recruit a kid in Indiana, they know how to play the game. They know how to play basketball.
Chris Moore, new Jeffersonville coach for the upcoming season. Coach Moore, great to reconnect with you. We'll enjoy following your team and having you on throughout the season this year. And thanks for the opportunity to chat with you today here on the program.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Chris Moore, approved last night, joins us today on the Hoosier Report to talk about what is an exciting team for the upcoming season. There's some college talent. Obviously, he mentioned Jacob Jones, already committed to Wisconsin Green Bay. Trey Coleman, his recruitment is coming along, and would not surprise me down the road, weeks, months, if we see a decision from him that he will play at a mid-major level of college basketball. And then, of course, Will Lovings-Watts, one of the most intriguing younger prospects on the team. Indiana in to see him when the fall recruiting period opened up, when the limited practices started. And he's definitely somebody, already has a scholarship offer from Bradley, will definitely play mid-major level college basketball. And as Coach Moore mentioned, because of his body and his skill set and plenty of room for growth and development, it would not surprise me if he doesn't play high major basketball. Indiana interested, Louisville interested at this early point. He's going to be somebody exciting to watch under the guidance of Coach Moore the next few seasons. Great to catch up with Chris. Again, when I think back over the years as a young guy involved in basketball and involved in AAU and different things, he was always there, whether he was recruiting for IU Southeast or Bellarmine. And, of course, as things went down the line, he obviously were recruiting for some Division I programs in the area. And when you talk about places like Morehead State and Wright State, those are programs that recruit Louisville. They recruit Southern Indiana because of their proximity especially. So he's got a watchful eye, or had a watchful eye, on this area, and it'll be interesting to see how he puts this Jeffersonville roster together under his leadership for the upcoming season. This first segment brought to you by Zaxby's. Wanted to get Coach Moore with us today in place of our Hoosier headlines, which is how we begin the program each day. A couple other notes to mention, however, Dawson Garcia, five-star player in the class of 2020. We told you yesterday that he was set to cut his list down to seven schools. I don't get too excited when it's a list of seven, maybe five or four. You start to really find out where you're at. Definitely when it's a final two or three, okay, this is time to really focus and get excited. But Dawson Garcia does keep Indiana in the mix. Let's see, Memphis, Minnesota, Marquette, Arizona, Kansas, North Carolina. That is the rest of the seven schools that he will consider from this point forward. And also, Indiana will have an assistant coach in today to watch a 2021 player, so a junior. His name is Aminu Muhammad. And so, again, IU coaches out on the road, not just watching players in the state of Indiana, but getting out across the country to watch others as well that obviously are being recruited and by the Hoosiers and players that they are going to be watching for the upcoming season. Let's head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. We'll talk IU basketball, recruiting, and more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Wednesday program. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He covers IU, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic, and he joins us from time to time here on the Hoosier Report to talk IU basketball. Dustin, we have spent some time, I think each of the last interviews we've had with you, talking about the State of the Program feature on The Athletic, which are essentially really deep previews, good stuff, on college basketball for the upcoming season. We've talked some about Purdue, and I think last time maybe about your Butler feature. And again, these are really in-depth stuff for the upcoming season. Since that point, you had a nice preview, an in-depth preview of the Hoosiers for the upcoming season, and you had a rare opportunity to actually get some comments and quotes from Archie Miller, who doesn't do a lot of preseason stuff when it comes to interviews and the opportunity to talk with media. But maybe overview that, some of his comments that he made that were pretty unique to your coverage. And, again, another really good piece by you and The Athletic platform.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no. He obviously set up the interview with me and Kevin Brockaway, who's doing the Blue Ribbon piece. You know, obviously they do theirs every year. So usually programs are pretty good about that. And since basically we've been doing sort of similar things to what Blue Ribbon's been doing for years, basically Indiana was more sort of amenable to that idea of just sort of doing it one time and getting it over with. But he, he was pretty open about sort of how he looks at this roster, which I thought was interesting. I thought there was just a lot of pieces about how he thinks about every player and how they fit into this that were intriguing. Certainly, I think said that I think there were some things that you probably read in there that were concerning to IU fans. One of them being that they really do need Devontae Green to not just probably play and start, but be one of the better guards in the league. I mean, I think obviously Devontae can be explosive, can do a lot of things well, but can also drive everybody crazy by making some mistakes and trying to make some home run plays. I think that's obviously something that he alluded to and discussed. Still views Justin Smith as an important part of this team as well. Another guy who can be sort of maddening at times, but showed some flashes last year of being able to be a guy that can help Indiana. Certainly a guy that can defend multiple positions. And there is, even though he didn't shoot it well collectively, he did at least for one game, in helping to beat Michigan State. So I think there was a lot of interesting things that I think he had to say individually about guys, how they might fit, how Trace Jackson Davis is coming along, what they want to see out of Rob Finnessy, even guys like Demezi Anderson and what kind of role he might play and what they want to see out of him. As he's really, I think, an important season for him to sort of, show that he's going to have a role on this team or not. So there was a lot of intriguing stuff, I think, in there about Archie, how he views this team, how it works together, and what each individual guy has to do to make this team a successful one.
Dustin, now that that piece is out and available and you've had an opportunity to sit down with the head coach, is there a piece of this team, a question mark around a certain part of this team or player with this team that stands out most to you that could hinge on whether Indiana has a solid season and maybe makes the NCAA tournament and finishes above some of the projections for the Big Ten Conference that we've seen so far, or maybe does finish where some of these preseason publications have projected and falls short of an NCAA tournament bid this time?
And I think the biggest one is still Jerome Hunter's health. You know, it's a question. It does seem to be trending towards the likelihood that he will play. But the question is he going to be able to play full time? Is he going to be able to be a guy who's out there for 25, 30 minutes a game? Or is he a guy whose minutes are going to have to be limited in some way? Because basically, I think hearing Archie talk about him, we just asked, okay, well, like, if he is healthy, what kind of player are you looking at? You know, like, tell us about what he was like in practice, what you see from him, what you think he can be. You know, Archie Miller believes he's an all Big Ten caliber player. I couldn't manage to put quality and caliber together there, but basically, Jerome Hunter, Archie Miller sees Jerome Hunter at that level. He's a guy who can score inside, score outside, rebound, defend. You know, can be sort of a stretch four or even a three type guy. That you're starting to see maybe at the next level of the NBA. I mean, he's, you know, a legitimate 6'8", and can shoot the ball over guys, doesn't have a problem, you know, getting his own, you know, can handle it a little bit. That's a really important piece, basically. If he can be what they believed he could be and what he was apparently showing that he was at the beginning of last season before, you know, the condition, I guess, was discovered, he looked like a guy that was going to be able to start last season. So, if he's not in that lineup, a lot changes. There's just a lot less capacity for that group to improve. They need somebody that can shoot from outside. Hunter can do that. You know, he's a guy that can get his points in a lot of different ways, and be effective in a lot of different ways. If you just take that out, there's not necessarily somebody who steps in and fills that role and can do the things that he can apparently do. So that, I think, is really key. I mean, a lot more becomes possible. You put a lineup in there, if Hunter is everything that they think he is, and you put a lineup around them of, you know, Finney Green, Jackson Davis, and either Brunk or Deron Davis, that's a pretty good team. I mean, it's not going to run away and win the Big Ten, but it's at least competitive. It's at least a group that gives you a shot, and maybe that gives you a chance to be a top half of the league team. If in that case you're bringing, you know, Al Durham and Justin Smith off the bench, and, you know, either Brunk or Davis off the bench. I mean, you've got a pretty good 8-man rotation there. Armand Franklin off the bench, and you know, go to maybe 8-9 guys that you can trust, that you can believe in, you know, out of the gate. Now you lose. If you don't have Hunter, and then maybe you're playing, you know, Durham at the three again, or maybe you're technically playing Green three, you know, if you're having to play a small lineup, or you're starting Justin Smith again, you're not in as, you know, you're not in as good of a position. So I think Hunter really changes what they're going to be able to do if he's available or not.
Interesting. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joining us as we look ahead to IU basketball for the upcoming season. Dustin, the season will be here before you know it. We're in that great point right now where college football is rolling. The season there is beginning to get interesting. And then we're going to have basketball pop up with Hoosier Hysteria, preseason practices and kickoffs, and then, of course, some of the early season games. It's amazing how quick you wait all summer, you finally get to this point, and before you know it, it's here. It's just a great sports time right now.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. I mean, first day of practice is September 24th. You know, and this thing has been sort of edging back for years and years and years. It's different now, obviously, because they are able to work out with them so much beforehand that maybe the first day of official practice isn't as much of a change as it used to be. You know, basically when you were only allowed to work with so many guys on the floor at a given time. You know, these guys have been practicing together as a group since at least, you know, the early summer, in some cases the late spring when they were still in class. But, I mean, you know, really, freshmen really got on campus about June, so these guys have been together that long, so it's not a huge changeover to go from, you know, a couple of days a week of workout to, you know, everyday practicing, but it's still something, and it's right there. You know, like I said, September 24th, you know, they got, and it's, you know, 5 weeks or whatever, and there are 6 weeks, I guess, now until games get started on November 5th. So, yeah, it's fun, and if you're just a sports fan, you tack that on to baseball playoffs coming up, and you know, September pennant races and stuff like that. So there's a lot to watch, a lot to get excited about, a lot to read about.
Yeah, absolutely. No question. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. We've got to talk some recruiting. And, of course, the IU coaches have been here, there, and everywhere with the recruiting period opening up. So fun to track where they're at. In fact, I saw that they're going to be watching an out-of-state player. One of the assistants will today. And who knows, perhaps Archie Miller going somewhere as well. Lots of visits, lots of open gyms and preseason practices being watched right now by all Division I coaches. But we want to kind of focus in again on the 2020 class. These are guys that are not far from starting their senior year of high school basketball. And it's an interesting time because Archie Miller has had all sorts of success when it comes to inside of Indiana. Romeo Langford kind of started that trend. The 2018 recruiting class was dotted with players from across the state that were sought after by other high major Division I programs in the area. Indiana came out the victor for most, if not all, those players. And since then, generally it's continued. Trace Jackson Davis and others, Keon Brooks, you've got to kind of go back to as the one miss in the state. But in the 2020 class, with Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal already committed, and Jordan Geronimo, of course, in the class as well. He is an out-of-state player. Indiana's got some openings here. They've got some needs here, and there's essentially no one else in the state that likely is going to fill any of those spots. So with Archie's success in the state, I think you'd have to say there are a few question marks with what has happened recruiting-wise outside of the state of Indiana. And so Indiana going to fill some spots, you would have to believe, with some players from out of state. Going to be interesting to see how this thing goes, what direction Indiana goes, what needs they fill, and ultimately where outside of the state some of these kids come from.
Yeah, no, definitely. And really at this point, they're down to one currently open scholarship. That's not to say that one won't open up as the season goes on. You know, you usually have some level of attrition. Obviously, they had a couple open up last year, you know, with Jake Forrester transferring out. You know, there's always a chance that some guys, you know, could leave, and there could be another scholarship to fill. But as it stands, going into the season, at least going into signing day, there's one available scholarship left. And you know, I think the guys that they're really focusing on remaining are Hassan Diarra, point guard out of New York. I think Andre Cubello is another New York point guard they're also looking at. And then Dawson Garcia, the big guy out of Minnesota, 6'11", and really skilled power forward. Garcia is a very, you know, Garcia, I think obviously they're going to be the top target. It's from a need perspective, it's obviously not, you know, there are a lot of similarities, I think, between him and Jackson Davis. But if you can put those two guys on the floor at the same time, that's not a bad thing. You know, having those guys play together is not a negative, even if they're, you know, technically both fours. You can play one at the four, one at the five, mix and match, move them around. They're just going to be tough to deal with because they're just two super skilled players for that size. You know, that's not a, you know, if Indiana has both of those guys together, they're not redundant to the point of that being a problem. But, you know, they're in the mix and a tough one there. I think, you know, they obviously aren't still in the Caleb Love sweepstakes. He canceled his visit this past weekend, was supposed to be in Indiana for the Ohio State game, did not end up making that trip. So Indiana is off his list. You know, that's a pretty significant loss, but it did seem like he was trending away from IU the way that one's going. But Garcia, it seems that they've held up pretty well. And a couple of the schools that were also, you know, looking at him apparently did not get in the mix. Duke and Kentucky were apparently interested, but they did not make his, you know, basically cut to seven, which presumes means that they didn't decide to offer him a scholarship. But Indiana still has to compete with Kansas and North Carolina, among some other schools up that way, Marquette and Minnesota being a couple of those. And Arizona is also another school that's in that competition. So they're going to have to really, you know, fight to get him. He is a heck of a player. I got to watch him a little bit on the circuit this summer on the Adidas circuit, and he is really impressive. Kid that can, you know, shoot, handle, do just about anything a guard can do at 6'11". So he's a heck of a player. But I think whether they get him or not, DR is an interesting case. I think they do want to get a point guard in this class. You know, somebody that can be sort of the next guy after Finney, or somebody that can also play alongside him. They're going to lose Devontae Green. They could use a guy that can play the two and handle, and I think DR is the guy that can do that. Again, New York City point guard, really good at getting the rim and finishing, getting to be better as a shooter, just tough kid. Again, just what you kind of expect out of players out of there. He plays in Connecticut, but he's from Queens, you know, and plays AAU out that way. And I know they have a visit coming up with him on September 28th. That's interesting. I haven't seen when Garcia is. Cabrera, I got to see a little bit on the circuit. Don't know too much about his game, but I was impressed with what I saw. So those are a couple of guys they're really focusing on. I think that's really what it comes down to. They're pretty set on wings. You know, basically two, three, you know, three, four guys. They could use a kind of you know, either a combo guard or a true point, and a big guy wouldn't hurt at all.
I tell you what, we've had so many names pop up, and this is nothing new with depending on who the coach is or what the year is. It's the same every year. So many names associated with IU that the coaches have watched, the coaches have traveled to go see. But my friend Jared Morris, he always says, and has said this on this program before, I don't pay a lot of attention to them until they make a visit to Indiana, even if that's an unofficial visit, but definitely an official now that juniors are allowed to take official visits as well. And that's something to be said. The way recruiting happens, the way it all unfolds, the circuits today and the number of players that coaches are able to go see, whether it's in the summer or whether it's traveling to their high school at this time of year or when they've got a break during the season in the winter, when a player, when a prospect visits Indiana, I think you've got to take that recruiting level and interest as far as coverage goes to another level as well. So much changes when they have the opportunity to see some of these campuses and facilities and training and all the things that go along with the school, academic side as well, of schools that are recruiting them. It's a big difference from a phone call or a visit at a high school as opposed to coming to Bloomington for a weekend. So when some of these guys schedule visits, that's when, to me, on the radar, you really have to perk your ears up and say, huh, this might get interesting, and Indiana has a legitimate shot here.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of, I think, different periods. Like, but yeah, when they do visit, that's the big point. That's when you know they're serious. Because, I mean, it takes some investment and time and money and whatnot. Obviously, the schools can pay for official visits and take care of most of the cost. But all of a sudden, it's still, you know, you're taking the weekend out, and you only get so many of those, especially the officials, when, again, the school can pay for you to come. So, in that case, you know that a kid is really serious about Indiana. I mean, I think you tend to, depending on how much of the circuit you get to cover, you know, you certainly notice if there's a guy that Archie Miller keeps going to see or one of the assistants keeps going to see over and over and over again, that they must be pretty serious about them. But you focus on it. You don't know for sure until this is a guy that they're really pursuing until it gets to visit season. Now, sometimes they just pop before that. You know, sometimes the guys just decide, you know, maybe they've taken an unofficial or something like that, and especially when it's an in-state kid, and they just, you know, some of the kids that are in-state end up going there several times throughout their high school career, and maybe they go there as a freshman and they're not even really, you know, a prospect, and by the time they're a junior, they've been there three, four, five, six times. And you know they're serious. But, yeah, especially when it comes to these out-of-state guys, you know that they care, that Indiana has really made an impact on them when they decided they're going to come to Bloomington.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Dustin, I always enjoy our chats. Before I let you go, an interesting story this morning in college basketball here in Kentuckiana. Rick Pitino has been spotted in Louisville at the courthouse in his suit against U of L, and the school and Coach Pitino making a joint statement a little earlier this morning. Basically, the summary of things today is that the school will not have to pay Pitino any money as part of the settlement. They have agreed to dismiss legal claims against each other and designate Pitino's departure as a resignation and move forward. Was some of the wording there, the last line of the joint statement. Pretty interesting stuff to see how this has unfolded and how this apparently has wrapped up now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't had a chance to look at it myself. I haven't had a chance to delve into it in terms of what the claims were previously. But it's just, I mean, obviously it's a pretty generally sorted situation. But I think it's interesting to wonder, all right, what are the benefits on both sides of this? And what does Rick Pitino feel like he's getting out of this to not continue to pursue his suit against Louisville? What's the point of just saying, all right, we're done with this? I certainly imagine that he wants to coach again in America for sure, instead of having to go chase jobs in Greece and Europe and wherever else. I imagine he wants to be a college basketball coach again. You know, is there a value to this, basically, if they look at it as a resignation as opposed to a firing? Does that make it easier for him to sell himself someplace else? Does it make it easier for him to sell himself if he doesn't continue to pursue this lawsuit and demand damages. You know, what does this give him?
I think is kind of the interesting question that is worth asking. And I don't know if anyone's had a chance to actually ask him that question. What he feels that the value is to, abandon in this suit, because I presume it has something to do with flexibility and in the ability to be hired again, somewhere. So I wonder what that is. I wonder how he thinks this is going to play, if he thinks this is going to help him. Exactly. I mean, like obviously this is still going to be, a black mark on his resume regardless, and whether or not you can, what you can prove and what you can't prove that he knew or didn't know, all the same, people are still going to look at it and say, yeah, there was some sketchiness going on there. But all the same, he doesn't have a show cause against him, right? I mean, I don't think the NCAA has ruled against him.
No,
in any way.
Yep.
He's available again. And obviously he's proven time and time and time again that he can win. You have to think that this is something that tells you that he wants this to be over with, and he wants it to be over with because he thinks that this can, that in a year or something like that, he has a chance to get back in the college game.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak covers Indiana, Purdue, Butler for The Athletic, and kind enough to join us from time to time here on the Hoosier Report. Dustin, enjoyed it. Thanks as always, and we'll do it again very soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joining us on this Wednesday program. We had Chris Moore in the first segment, the newly hired Jeffersonville boys basketball coach for the upcoming season. And coming up in the next segment, our final segment today, Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, will talk more about the hiring of Coach Moore at Jeffersonville. We'll look ahead to week 5 of high school football here in the area, and a lot more as we talk local sports in the next segment presented by the Major League Shirt Company. Craig Pearson joins me in studio after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Final segment on Wednesdays. It's always Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune. A lot of what we talk about in this segment you can either read about now or forthcoming at newsandtribune.com/sports. This segment brought to you by the Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet any of your apparel needs. T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Anything from screen printing, embroidery, fully sublimated uniforms. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can visit mlshirtco.com. That's mlshirtco.com to find out more. Craig, you were at the school board meeting last night. Chris Moore approved as the coach for this season at Jeffersonville High School. We had him on the program earlier today, and obviously he's a guy that comes in with the experience and with some background to him that makes it, I think, a really good find for Jeffersonville for this upcoming season.
Without a doubt, I was able to actually go watch them work out as well. He's just got a nice commanding presence, I guess, for lack of a better word, and his experience shows, and his attention to detail is something we talked about. And, that 18 years of, being involved with some solid college basketball programs is something that, he can draw on, obviously. And, I think he's excited to get to work as a head coach at a tradition-rich, as he put it, a high school basketball program, and see how he can, kind of transition into that role. And obviously he's got some talent to work with. So,
Craig, if I was ever going to have to take a high school coaching job in the middle of September with a lot of odds stacked against me as far as how this job opened and lack of being with the team last season or in the summer, which are now some very valuable times you can spend with your team, learning a lot about the players and building camaraderie and chemistry and getting offenses and defenses in, I think it would be this Jeff team. They've got that much talent that someone that comes in with experience. You mentioned a commanding type presence. I've heard multiple people say, you know, we just like his presence. We like his demeanor is another way I've heard it described. And if somebody can come in with those qualities, clearly he's got the basketball under control. And also as a bonus for those kids, he's been at the college level. We talked about this some earlier when he joined the show. He can help some of these kids through their recruiting as well. So if you were ever going to have to take a job in the scenario it is and the time frame it is, with some of these key seniors and with Will Loving's Watts, and there's other good players as well that we're not including in this trio of college prospects that are going to play game, this would probably be the team to take over in this very tough situation.
Right, yeah. I mean, senior, just to mention the other guys real quick, yeah, senior Darren Starks is a great leader on that team and an awesome three-point shooter, so Devin Franklin's a junior, you know, he could emerge into a really strong high school player in the next couple of years, and there's just, you know, a lot of talent, like you said, and, you know, it's a great situation, seemingly, for both parties, and it's going to be interesting to see, basketball-wise, you know, what X's and O's, that's something I hadn't really got into with Chris at this point, you know, what kind of style of a play does he see this team playing? I mean, you'd think, you know, it'd be a team you want to get up and down and run with their great guards and, you know, athletic type forwards like, or wing, I guess you can call Trey Coleman and Will Loving's Watts wing players. And, you know, so they don't have, you know, that great low post player, I suppose, although Trey and Will can get down there a little bit. So, you know, yeah, it's certainly a team that could be a contender in the state. I mean, there's going to be obviously a lot of great teams, whether that's up in Indianapolis or all over the place. So, but you know, it's a team that is going to be fun to watch. So that, there's no doubt about that.
And you talk about schedule and Indianapolis and things like that. Coach Moore inherits a really good, talented schedule. A group of opponents that his team is going to go against this year. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Jeffersonville has been building as a program under Coach Luce the last number of years. The schedule has gotten better each year. Coach Luce knew so many people across the state. He wanted to play some friends and take the Red Devils to different places. And so this is kind of a season that they've been gearing up for, not just talent-wise, but schedule-wise as well. So this Jeff team, they're going to be tested as they work through the season. It's not just going to be some big local rivalry games. Yes, those games will happen, but it's going to be some other big contests for this team that will have them tournament ready.
No doubt, yeah. What, Lawrence North comes to town in December, and they play Valparaiso. They've got a trip to Attucks. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch some of those battles. And obviously Silver Creek is going to be a fun game. And in addition to, I mean, Floyd Central's not going to be a slouch, or neither is New Albany. So there's a lot of good teams around here. So that's going to be a lot, like you said, a lot of good tests. And, you know, I think, Chris, one thing that stood out to me in talking with him is that, you know, he looked at one of his priorities probably as just making sure this team is focused on day-by-day improvement and not just dreaming about March, you know what I mean? You don't want to just coast through the regular season. You want to grind it out week by week and put together, you know, strong performances against good teams and obviously get a lot of victories, but also just, you know, gel as a team and reach their potential and all of that sort of stuff. So it's going to be he looks like a guy that's going to be all business as far as that goes, and he's going to get things done in practice, so that's going to be pretty cool.
Chris Moore, the new coach at Jeffersonville for this upcoming 2019-2020 season. It is worth noting, and you covered this well in your story, that all coaching contracts at Greater Clark County Schools are one-year contracts. So obviously this is a one-year deal for Coach Moore. Who knows what happens beyond this season? But the talent he has and the resume he has, if he can find success, you wonder if he won't be at that post for a number of years. It's going to be interesting to see once the Devils settle down, no matter what level of success they reach in the tournament, how things play out again in the offseason with this coaching spot.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that, athletic director Todd Satterley mentioned that, you know, the job will open up no matter what. So that's interesting. And I think, you know, but yeah, I mean, if Chris takes his team to the state championship, shoot, it's hard to decide to make a change in my mind. I mean, that's a guy that's proven that he can do it, you know, and he'll still have some talent back. He'll lose some seniors, but at the same time, you know, yeah, maybe they were impressed with some other applicants and the timing just wasn't right. It's hard to say at this point.
This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They specialize in fundraising. Outfit your fans with very little effort. They even do the sorting. All you got to do is cash the check. Find out more at Major League Shirt Company. That's MLShirtCo.com. Again, MLShirtCo.com. We've only got about a minute left. We spent a lot of time there talking about Coach Moore at Jeff High School football this week. Speaking of Jeff, the Red Devils in action as well, and also Floyd Central, a team that's really turned the corner.
Yeah, just another, if from Jeff's perspective, another really tough ball game for them. Not that they can't hang in there, you know what I mean? If they can limit the big plays of Winkers Wright, which no one has done yet this season, then, you know, they've got a shot. But, yeah, some other action. Silver Creek looking to go to 5-0 against an improved Scottsburg program, and that one also stands out there and should be a good ball game.
Week 5 of high school football, we're at the turning point. Obviously, Silver Creek at 4-0, even without their starting quarterback last week and maybe for a few more weeks, has been very impressive. Give me your top three. Give me your top two. Give me standouts team-wise so far this season.
Boy, I think I would give Floyd the slight edge over Silver Creek, and then so make Silver Creek the number two. And, man, that number three, I suppose
it's hard to pick.
Charlestown and Providence, yeah. I suppose, are right there. I'm going to call it even and let them decide it on the field.
That's right. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. You can find out more and read he and his team's coverage at newsandtribune.com/sports and on Twitter at @NewsTribScores. That's going to wrap up this Wednesday show. Back with you Thursday at 11. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.